Sometimes I have the tendency to take for granted the miracles that are available in my life. I'll give you a perfect example of this. It never seems to fail that about every 18 to 24 months, I seem to want to have a new iPhone with more advanced features and abilities, improved camera specs, all of these different upgrades, if you will. I want the latest, I want the greatest. And what's amazing to me is that once that trigger gets triggered, I want that new gadget more than anything else, it seems like. I'm being a little bit overly dramatic with my words, but I do have a great desire for it. And it seems to sometimes take up a great deal of my attention, my focus. It's like, wow, when can I place that order? And once I place the order, heaven forbid it's not available for me for instant gratification by just going to the store and picking it up. And I have to wait for a couple of days. Or if I've decided to be an early adopter of a brand new one and pre-orders are available and I have to wait anywhere between a week to 10 days to get it. Oh my gosh, those 10 days. Boy, do they stretch out. It's during those 10 days I'm probably the most productive I've ever been in my life, because have you ever had that thought, man, there just aren't enough hours in the day to get all the things done that I need to get done? Well, I'll tell you what, 7 to 10 days waiting for that, those are the longest days ever. I guess somewhere, some way, somehow, I should be getting lots of things done. Well, that would be true probably if I weren't checking my tracking stats to see where my phone is on its way from China. But anyway, I digress. The irony is that the way that I'm feeling about this new device is exactly the way I felt 18 to 24 months earlier with the device that I currently have in my hand to check the delivery progress of the one I'm waiting for. And the irony is also that once the new device comes, I'm usually meeting the guy at the door to make sure that I don't miss the signing of the document. And of course, I've already printed off the UPS authorization form that says, hey, if by some chance you knock on this door and I'm not instantly here, I give you the authorization to drop this package at my doorstep without signature. Don't worry. I take full responsibility. I just don't want to delay this another day. I know maybe I'm the only person who has ever had this experience before. You probably can't relate to anything like this. But anyway, just giving you a glimpse into my world. And then all of a sudden, I will unbox that thing, the feeling of elation and that excitement of the new. And it's like, man, this is amazing. This is a miracle. Wow, is this thing so fast. And the videos I will be able to create from this. And it just seems like the possibilities are endless, and I now finally have in my mind the perfect device. With this device, I can communicate with anyone in any way. I can envision all of the things that I will do now that I finally have this device. By the way, I've said that about so many different iPads, so many different laptop, MacBooks, desktop, iMacs. How many things have I said this about in the past? Same is true with the latest Kindle. You name it, it goes on and on and on and on. And what is interesting is that after 3 or 4 weeks of using this day in and day out and benefiting from it, my life is seemingly somehow it improved as a result of having it. Over time, my excitement about the miracle that this device is, or the miracle of this technology that I have access to, it just starts to wane a little bit. And eventually there are things about it that I start to say, wow, I wish it didn't do this, or it begins to change. And one of the ways that it begins to change is like, wow, I'm noticing that my battery isn't lasting as long now that I've had this thing for 18 months. It seems to get about 2 or 3 hours a less per charge than it did when it was brand new. And I could replace the battery, but you know, there is that new phone and there's this thing over here. And if I could have anything, I can't even begin to tell you the number of hours that I've thought about and dreamt up building my own perfect Kindle. I wish Amazon would hire me and I would teach them how to build the Kindle that would be the end-all be-all of all Kindles. And then I'm like, you know what? I would probably get bored with it after a couple of months too. And I would want to then design the next thing and the next thing. And what I've come to understand is there seems to be that ongoing progression of desire for something new and also for things not to change. I wish things would always be in their perfect state. I wish I could just freeze it in amber and it would always be this good. It would always look this new. It would always be this scratch free. In fact, I invest in cases that make the phone bulkier than it needs to be. I put on these protective films so that the screen doesn't scratch and all of these things. I'm trying to protect it and say, please stay the same. Please don't change. Don't do anything that would be less than I expect and or desire. And the reality is that things do change. Things don't always stay the same. Things do degrade over time. It's something that I've been on this planet now for 51 years, and I've recognized is the change in so many different technologies and things that, quite frankly, are in the control of someone else other than myself. Now, there's a lot of things in my life that I have direct influence upon, but I've learned that things where I don't have direct influence, my resistance to change doesn't seem to help very much. Now, believe it or not, this episode was inspired by a Facebook post from a friend of mine in the UK. His name is Ian Anderson Gray. I've had the privilege and honor of meeting him in his home country in the UK, back in Manchester. I can't remember what year that was, but I was doing New Media Europe speaking at that conference, and I'll never forget the conversation Ian and I had the very first day in that hotel in Manchester. It was absolutely amazing. And I've seen him a number of times, countless times, at numerous social media marketing world expos, conference in San Diego, California. And as a result of that, we've stayed in touch as acquaintances and sometimes even going a little bit more personal. And there's somewhat of a friendship, although be it distant friendship. And one of the ways that I stay upon, you know, what's going on in my friend Ian's world is by following his social media posts. There are seasons of his life where he's posting more frequently. There are seasons of my life where I'm posting more frequently. And then there are seasons when I don't see Ian for a while and vice versa. Ian doesn't see me for a while, mostly due to the fact that we go through changes. There are different seasons of life where we're inspired and led and our energy leads us to be more open, vulnerable, authentic about what's going on in our world. There are seasons when it seems like we feel like we're in need of marketing a product or a service and we want to get the message out about that. And there are seasons when we decide to go internal And we decide to re-energize and go within and get grounded and really evaluate, where do I want to go next in life? And sometimes there are seasons when we choose to not be as public about certain things that we're processing as a result of all of the things that come into our life. So today, it was an incredibly awesome, pleasant surprise when I logged in to Facebook today to see Ian Anderson Gray post a post on Facebook. I was elated when I saw his image and his name in my feed, and then I began to read his Facebook post. Here's what he said. And by the way, it says, Ian Anderson Gray is feeling curious. And here is what he wrote. Posting on your Facebook profile for work or personal life or both. I've noticed that over the past few years that my Facebook feed hardly contains personal posts from my friends. The vast majority of the posts are marketing or business related. Almost all of my ads are marketing related. And most of the people who are posting marketing content are not posting any personal content. There's also the kind of hybrid personal-business post where people post about their business in the context of their overall life. I do a lot of this, but I'm not talking about that here. This trend isn't bad, it's just what it is. But for me, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X have all become the same. If I want to see more raw and personal posts from my friends, Facebook was where it was. And if you wanted business posts, you had Pages or LinkedIn. But now it's much more difficult. And a lot of the friends who posted stuff that I really liked aren't on Facebook anymore. Not just Facebook, they stopped posting on social media. I miss them. Some post on other networks like Instagram, but that's full of short-form, vertical videos and surface-level image-first content most of the time. I don't want to sound like I'm an old fart and hearkening back to the glory days of social media. I've always been pretty present and future-centered in my outlook. I'm really excited about new technologies such as AI, but there's no doubt that social media has changed. It's become fragmented, and a lot of people have left Facebook or social media completely. I'm really trying to see how these changes are not for the worse. There are definitely exceptions and still great posts on here, but I'd love to hear what you think. And then he asks a couple of questions. He says, how has social media changed for you? Do you post personal, business, or a mix? Do you miss people who no longer post here? And if you were in charge, what would you change about these social networks? Now, as soon as I finished reading Ian's post, I felt compelled to comment. It's been a long time since I've actively engaged with Ian, and I had this flow of stream of consciousness that was just sitting there waiting to have expression. And so what did I do? I clicked the comment button and I started typing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to first read to you what I commented back to Ian. And then afterwards, I'm going to share with you why I felt inspired to come here and share this podcast episode with you. All right, so here's what I wrote in my comment to Ian. I said, Ian, at this stage in my life, I'm making an effort to not label any changes as for the worse or bad. The reason for me is that my label doesn't seem to have any impact at all on what has changed. And what I found is that the label or meaning that I assign to the change that I'm noticing does have a definite impact on my emotional state when I'm focused on that change, looking at it through the filter of the label that I've created in my mind. I have witnessed the same changes in Facebook posts and profiles and social media in general. For me, the biggest thing that I miss were the days of chronological timelines or feeds with everything posted by only those who you were connected to or friends with or followed. As soon as algorithms were introduced, the gamification of the feed was something that marketers tried to exploit. If I miss anything, it was the single social media app that simply asked one question: what are you doing? And where at any moment of the day, you could simply answer that question. And at any point in your day, you could log in and see what all of your friends had answered to that question since the last time you logged in. Now, of course, I'm describing the early days of Twitter, and Twitter has changed from that model. And it made that change many years before Elon ever considered purchasing the company. So has Twitter changed? Yes. And how do I feel about that? I simply feel that it is what it is. Someone else created it. Someone else who owned it decided to change it. And so it changed. I choose to celebrate the amount of connections that I've made through platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Plurk, Google Wave, MySpace, etc. over all of these years. I grew up in the 1970s, and back then my only connection was to neighborhood bullies that I tried to avoid at all costs. I'll never forget the first time I dialed into a BBS with a 300 baud modem over the telephone line. It opened up a whole new world to me. I still remember the magic of instant group chats, where I would eventually be able to dial in and connect in real time with people using services like America Online. A lot has changed since those days. The interesting thing is this: the potential for me to connect with multiple human beings from almost any point on this planet is a magical thing. Here I am commenting on a post from a guy in the UK who posted this post 47 minutes before I started writing this response. And the very instant that I hit submit on this comment, you will have the option to read my response. We are 3,830 miles apart from each other, and this communication costs me nothing other than the device and the internet connection that I would have had for any number of other reasons anyway. Facebook is the platform that is making this happen. Right here, right now. For that, I am thankful. And it reminds me of my starry-eyed wonder when I logged into my first BBS system with a 300 baud modem. And then I put a smiley face. Now, once I had posted that, several things happened inside of me. The first thing that happened is like, wow, I think I want to create a podcast episode about this. I want to talk about this idea of how much sometimes I have this tendency to take for granted the miracle that we have at our disposal today and the many blessings that can come from that miracle. And if I lose sight of of the miracle that is taking place. And instead, I begin to start evaluating things that I don't like, things that have changed and shifted over times. And maybe once I begin to start perceiving that things are degrading and they're changing, and the things that were once there are no longer there, or they've changed in form and substance, that that's no longer the place that it once was in the way that it was when I loved it the most. But what I've found is that I have had this tendency to get hyper-focused on what I don't like about what has changed. And I'm eagerly anticipating either some future thing that will help me relive the goodness of everything I want it to be, or I'm reminiscing about the past and grieving the loss of something that I once had, when the core essence is still here. The core miracle is still here. And I know that I'm talking about Facebook posts and whether or not what you're doing on your face. That's the second thing that occurred to me, is that it's like, I don't know that it really actually answered his four questions. Instead, I got caught up on just the first thing. I'd love to know what you think. I'm like, well, stream of consciousness thought. Here's Cliff's feedback. This is what I'm thinking. So that's what I got. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and answer these other questions. I didn't respond yet on Facebook to answer these, but I'm going to answer these now. And I'm going to let Ian Anderson Gray know that he has inspired this episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. And so he'll probably come in and listen to this. And if he doesn't, it's not a big deal. It's not really that big of a deal at all. So anyway, here's what his questions were. How has social media changed for you? Well, social media has changed in as much as the filters that I have placed on it. It seems to me that it is over-commercialized. It's all marketing. It seems to be very non-personal related content. It doesn't seem like anybody's really putting that stuff out there. There are times when I feel exactly what I was reading in this post. And what comes up for me as I say that out loud is it's usually during the seasons when I am not putting much personal effort into sharing what's going on in my life personally, and when I'm tending to want to market a lot of things and posting a lot of marketing-related content, and where there seems to be a call to action after everything that I post, I seem to notice that's what I'm seeing feeded, you know, reflected back to me. And it's almost as though the filter for which I'm seeing social media and its usefulness is kind of the filter that allows me to see what I'm focused on, to the exclusion of other things. It's not for me. I don't think that there's actually a lack of personal stuff going on. I think that I'm not seeing it. I'm not focused on it. I am having a sense, and I have a filter, that things have gotten worse. And so I may not be quite as hyperly aware of the personal details that are there. I might hear somebody post something personal, but because of my frame of mind, I might read into it, oh, this person's only sharing that because they have this business angle, this marketing angle, which may or may not be the case. So how has social media changed for me? It's changed for me in whatever I decide to use the platform as. And there have been a number of times when I've chosen to be super personal, just, hey, here I am at the gym today. And I kind of do miss the days of where you had a platform where you could just log in and say, what are you up to? And just type that in, and you miss that. Just like I said, I do miss those days. But social media has changed. It seems like a lot of the things that I'm noticing has a lot to do with what I am, or who I am following. So my guess is that Ian and I are experiencing a lot of similarity in what's going on in our Facebook feeds because we're following a bunch of content creation marketing people. I know that my friend Ian Anderson Gray, he is a content creator. He does lessons and teaches about how to be confident when you're on social media, how to show up there. I know that in the past he's offered coaching and courses, and when I think about who all of my friends are, they're all full-time self-employed business owners who are using content to market who they are and to introduce the value that they have to bring when it comes to their products and services. And for many of these individuals, including myself at times, a lot of my personal identity is kind of wrapped up into what I do professionally. You know, for me, I sometimes have a difficult time trying to distinguish, am I working right now as I'm recording this podcast episode, or am I playing? Is this work or is this recreation? Is this marketing to you or is this a personal reflection of something that came up for me and I just felt inspired to share this piece of content? And I don't know that I make a conscious decision all of the time. That, don't get me wrong. There are many times when I hit record on a piece of content, I know for a fact that the purpose of that content is to deliver some information and insight and value. I always want to make sure that there's enough value in that piece of content that if that's all you consumed, that it would have had an incredible, profound, and positive impact in your life. And then to put some sort of call to action that says, hey, for those of you who would like more, or if you'd like to engage with me about this, if you'd like somebody to provide feedback, if you'd like to evaluate how this could work out for yourself, I'm available for fill in the blank product or service, whether that be my paid mastermind groups, my workshops, my conferences, my one-on-one coaching, etc. But right here, right now, when I hit record on this podcast episode, this is pure flow. This is pure inspiration. And in fact, right before I hit record on this podcast episode, I'm like, wait a second, Cliff, shouldn't you go and outline this thing? Why don't you apply the SCORE method? And why don't you have a premise and a takeaway and some thing that you're inspiring people to do and give them four reasons why they should fill in the blank? And I started to go down that route. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in and create a custom GPT in ChatGPT on the SCORE method. And I'm going to train it based upon the lessons I've learned from the SCORE speakers conference. And I'm going to take all of my notes and I'm going to use that. And then I'm going to have it take the comment that, or the post that Ian Anderson Gray wrote. And then I'm going to take my comment and I'm going to say, okay, here's the overall thing I feel inspired to share with my audience. Now outline this using the SCORE method. And I began that entire process. And then I realized it's like, okay, I'm going to have to do a bunch more engineering on the custom GPT because it was not giving me the results that I liked. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Here I just spent about 20 minutes on that process and I'm nowhere near closer to creating this piece of content I feel inspired to do. And then when I thought about it, it's like, well, what is it that I'm inspired to do? What is it that I'm inspired to share? And that is, wow, how I choose to apply a label and view what it is that has changed will determine my experience of it. And sometimes my experience of that is not actually all that's available to me. So what I'm experiencing is not reality, but it's my perception of reality. So for example, in this case with social media, if I were to say, wow, social media is all marketing, it's not personal, nobody's here anymore, and I have felt that way before, then that becomes somewhat of my experience. As soon as I log in, and if I'm scrolling real quickly, I tend to see things that are supporting evidence of my belief, and I seem to delete, distort, or generalize all of the stuff that might not support my belief of what has changed. And therefore, my enjoyment of that platform no longer is as enjoyable. And I tend to experience the actual lack of enjoyment that comes with the fact that, wow, I don't enjoy this as much because this is what it's become. But when I step back and think, wow, how far have I come? I'm literally sitting here reading a post from somebody that I've had multiple face-to-face, one-on-one, real-time conversations in the UK and in San Diego, numerous times, face-to-face. And here is somebody that I've had the benefit of seeing his hometown, the countryside. I'll never forget the many times when he's posting Instagram stories back in the past, and I would just see, and I think back in the day, we might have even been Snapchat stories. But anyway, just to see the countryside of the UK, and its beauty, and see his hometown, and he was able to see some of mine, and I recall those days, and do I see those these days from Ian as much? No, not at all. But that's okay. I am incredibly thankful for what I have been able to see, that personal glimpse into his life when he was in seasons of sharing those glimpses. You know, I've been able to see him move his office and design it from the ground up and tear things apart and put it together when he chose to share those things. And, you know, it's fun to be connected with somebody who is, what did I say, 3,830 miles away. And yet, at the same time, here I am today, and he posted something personal, and here I am, and he evoked something personal from me. And I'm like, wow, maybe if what I want is more personal connection, what if I were to post more personal content and ask for personal responses? Huh. What if, and this has been my experience in many cases, usually when I put something out into the world and I begin to see the tool through a specific filter and have a belief about the value of that filter, of that tool, of that technology, then I start to see other people who are also similarly using that tool or technology in a similar way. When, in hindsight, I look back, the reality is those people were always there. It's just that I was looking through the filter of a different lens. Now, this may not always be the case. I get that. And yes, some things have changed. It's very clear the days of logging into Twitter or X or Facebook or any place else, as far as I can tell, and basically just only seeing a timeline with people you follow and what they've posted and all that stuff, that seems to be a thing of the past, at least for now. Maybe you can duplicate that with some online forums back, like a la PHPBB or something like that. And maybe there are some things that are out there, but the big social platforms where there seems to be that large network of gathering of millions of people from all over the globe interacting in a single place. Yeah, it seems that those days have come and they have passed. Now, when it comes to the other questions that he asked, at this point, I don't know that I care a whole lot about the personal / business delineation myself. I never was a fan of the two different identities for me, because I've been a personal brand from day one, ever since I've had an online business. It's always been a personal brand for me. So those that stuff doesn't bother me. I do want to go to this question. Do you miss the people who no longer post here? And I want to be honest and say, I probably haven't thought about the people who haven't posted on here, who have left, because they're not top of mind anymore. Now, occasionally, do I think of somebody as a result of a memory? And then all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I haven't heard from so-and-so in quite some time. And then it's not until right now that I'm like, oh, wow, I haven't heard about them from quite some time because they don't post anymore. I could think of probably a couple of names. I'd probably go to their Facebook profile and see that maybe they've only posted maybe 3 or 4 posts in the last 3 to 5 years on Facebook. Maybe that's the case. Do I miss those people? Maybe now that I'm thinking of it, maybe. And my thought is there, if I'm actually missing somebody who's not posting on social media, one of the things that I could do is I could journal about that, make a list of who those people are, and then I could do some research and find a way to reach out to them and see if there isn't a way to reestablish that connection. And if they're still alive and experiencing life on this planet, maybe, just maybe, if I miss them, I would be able to get in contact with them and reestablish communication in some way, shape, or form. And I think that that's amazing. One of the things I love is the fact that this is possible today. I mean, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, if I went on a cruise and I met some younger people around my age who lived in various different places around the world and in my own country, even if they were in another state, when I was a young teenager, long distance charges to somebody who lived in another state were kind of pretty high. And then if you wanted to talk to somebody who was outside of your country, it was almost completely unaffordable. And so back then, I do recall actually writing letters and mailing letters back and forth to people that I've met on cruises and having pen pals for as long as months up to years at a time. Now, do I continue to exchange letters with those people that I did, let's just say, 35, 40 years ago? No, I don't. I can't even remember the last time I wrote a handwritten letter to somebody. It's probably been about 6 or 7 years, and it's probably been a couple of clients that I've worked with or very close personal friends I've written a letter to. And the thought at the time was, oh, you know what? Maybe I should do this more often. This is something that is a lost art. People don't do this anymore. And then I would do it. It would have a huge impact. But I'd kind of go back to my normal ways. And I'm just now recognizing that. And maybe that's something. Make a list of the people who are no longer posting in social media. See if you can't reach out to them. Get their address and send them something in the physical mail. The one thing for me as I think about this is I'm just incredibly thankful for the people who I've met through these online platforms that I would have never met had it not been for the online platforms. And I think, you know, even the fact that Ian Anderson Gray and I know each other face to face and we have an in-person relationship and online, the reality is that would have never happened had it not been for online. The Social Media Marketing World Conference wouldn't exist without social media being a thing. And the New Media Europe conference, where I went and did a keynote address for, I wouldn't have been invited there if it wasn't for this online world of podcasting. And so I guess for me, there have been times when I look at these social media platforms, especially as of late, there's a lot of people complaining about how things have changed. And by the way, I am not suggesting that Ian Anderson Gray is complaining about the changes. He's curious, and he's wondering if anybody else is noticing, and what are other people thinking? And I just want to say that I so appreciate the prompt that he put here. So I'm not seeing this as a complaint, but I am suggesting to you that there's a lot of people who are actively complaining consistently all of the time about what has changed in social media. And for me, I have the ability to get caught up in those complaints, to have a grievance with what's changed, to grieve what I've lost, what I once had. And I sometimes look forward to the next new social media tool that might just give me that next level experience of exactly what I hope to most have. When in reality, I have access to tools right here, right now, that are miracles. The phone that I have in my pocket is a miracle. If I were to take and go, currently I'm sitting here with an iPhone 14 Pro Max, and I just got my wife an iPhone 15 Pro because her iPhone 11 Pro Max, or no, her iPhone 11 Pro needed an upgrade. Here's what I know. Her iPhone 11 Pro, I'm pretty sure it's sitting around the house here somewhere. If my iPhone 14 Pro Max were to be destroyed and I was going to wait until the iPhone 16 Pro Max comes out, which will be, you know, probably later this year in the fall, I quite literally could take my wife's iPhone 11 Pro, which has a faulty charging port at the bottom. So the lightning port, you can't charge it half the time there, but the wireless charging still works perfectly. But quite frankly, the battery is probably only going to last about 3 to 4 hours after you, once it's at 100%, so such and such, at least by its determination or display. But here's what I can tell you. Even with that iPhone 11 Pro, that thing's a miracle. It really is. With that iPhone 11 Pro, I could still communicate with the world. I could create Instagram stories. I could create TikTok videos. I could create YouTube videos and vlogs. I could record podcast episodes. I could interact with Twitter and, or well, X, Facebook, Instagram, all of the different tools out there. It's just the what's available. I could read virtually any book on this planet. I could document and search through all of my notes in Notion and all of these different things that are available to me. What a miracle that this device, I mean, goodness. When I was 8 years old, I'll never forget my dad bringing home a Commodore VIC-20 computer and it gathering dust until finally I said, hey, can I have a stab at this thing? And I'll never forget plugging that up to my television and opening up that user manual for the Commodore VIC-20 and teaching myself how to do basic programming. The go-to, if this, then that statements. And oh my gosh, this was amazing. And I could actually program it to make music. I could program it to do games. And this was phenomenal. But the idea at that time that that computer could ever connect to another computer on another place on this planet, and it could do it instantaneously, and I could actually broadcast a live high definition video stream of me from my room to the planet for free, it would have never even crossed my mind as a possibility. And if you would have told me at 8 years old that one day with a little device in my pocket, I could pull it out and from literally practically almost anywhere in my hometown, I could instantly go live and broadcast for free HD video to the world. What a miracle that would have sounded like. What an impossibility. And today we have that available to us. Today we have at our disposal millions of people, and in our personal social networks, we probably have hundreds to thousands to hundreds of thousands of people that any given moment, if we truly wanted to be personal with somebody, we could send them a direct message on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, iMessage, any number of other tools and services, and saying, hey, I was thinking about you today. I remember when you and I had a conversation about fill in the blank. How are things going? I could do that with practically anyone. And almost all of those people have the ability to instantly receive that message, and the potential of having a response within seconds, minutes, hours, and certainly days with practically anybody on this planet. What a gift! What a gift. Has social media changed? Yes. Will it ever go back to what it was? I don't know. Do I even know what I want it to be next? I don't know. But I never want to lose the starry-eyed wonder, the awe and awesomeness, and the miracle that's available to us today. That's it. Didn't have an outline. Maybe should have. This is a test of creating some different kind of content here for the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. Don't know if I'm going to continue this. I haven't heard a lot of feedback from the episode before this one. And whether or not I continue to come here to the Cliff Ravenscraft Show with these random, off the top of my head thoughts will be determined maybe in some part based upon whether or not you give me feedback and let me know that you listened to it and found some value. And if you want to do that, guess what? You probably have some sort of device that you could open, up an app, type in Cliff at cliffravenscraft.com and put in the subject line feedback, and then just write me a message. And just know this, if you do it, my commitment is that I will read it and I will hit reply. What a miracle we have. How, think about that email. I still to this day remember the very first email I ever sent that was outside of the BBS computer system. I was working with my friend Tim House. He operated the Wildcat BBS, which was a MagicSoft BBS system. And he plugged into the, I think it was the Pine email system. But anyway, I'll never forget the first time when I was able to broadcast and send out a public email to the world. And then other people from all over the world were able to email me. And then when I was at NKU, Northern Kentucky University, I'll never forget having a .edu email there. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And yeah, and we were using Pine and scripts how far we've come. And for me, I always want to remember the miracle that it is that we can communicate. And I want to just never take for granted the fact that there's all of these tools and resources and available. And sure, I do need a device, and sure, I need an internet connection, but in this day and age, I'm going to have both of those no matter what. But with those two things, the fact that I can always, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, communicate with people in written form, image form, video form, and who knows what's coming next, but I can communicate for free with practically anybody on this planet who also has a device and an internet connection. Let me know if this resonated with you. Did anything that was shared here, does it reach you in a way? Does it get you thinking? Are you more thankful about things? Does it encourage you or inspire you to kind of say, you know what, sure, there may be things that are less than pleasant in these changes that have happened in whatever technology, but am I able to see the gift that this they still provide? Am I able to actually look at these technologies with a filter that allows me to see of what is actually is possible here now, right now, with it in its current changed form that somebody like me 40 years ago would have thought was a miracle? Does that resonate with you? Anyway, until next time, I encourage you to take everything you do to the next level. Mindset Answer Man.